Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN. 97.5. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, John is out, but Dell is in. Harrison's behind the glass running the show, so it's me, it's Dell, it's you. And here's our number. I know you'll want to weigh in early on and get your thoughts out of the way. 713, not out of the way, we want to hear what you have to say. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. And it was a, and the series is over. And man, like that. It went from being the Astros winning game one and show all the, you know, they'd won four straight. They swept the Indians. They go in, beat Chris Sale. They beat up on the Red Sox 7-2. They show the Red Sox that, you know, you don't want to mess with the defending champs. Everyone's reeling. There's talking about who you'd rather play, the Brewers or the Dodgers. And then you jump on David Price. You've got Marwin hits a home run in game two. And it's like, yep, here we go. I wonder if Dallas Keuchel can get you up to 3-0. And before you know it, not only are you not beating David Price, and it wasn't David Price at the time, it was David Price didn't even make it five innings, but not only do you not win game two at Boston, you're like, well, if I would have told you you'd go in and get a split with Boston, you'd take it. Okay, well, that's what you got. You got a split. So good. You won the home field back. Then you go in with Dallas Keuchel. Well, you know, Dallas got jumped on early, but the Astros were making a little, here we go. Here we go. Now the Astros have a lead. All right. Oh, no, that was game four. No, game three, it got, yeah, everything was fine until the grand slam by Jackie Bradley. We had like three hits, all of them were home runs, about 30 RBIs in the series. And then game four, we all know what happened. You had the home run issue early. You still went and took a lead. I'm getting tired of hearing the home run stuff, frankly. You went back and took a lead, so who cares? You took a lead back, and then you gave up a lead. And then you're gone in game four. It's like, well, Justin Verlander's not losing to David Price. I mean, Justin Verlander is a Cy Young Award winner. He is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And David Price sucks. And David Price and blah, blah, blah. Well, they put four on Justin Verlander yesterday in six innings. A pitch for a strike three was missed. And the very next pitch ended up being a home run. That happened. Good work, Blue. But then David Price was a story. Six innings, three hits, nine punch outs. He can punch anybody out in the first game. He had four And this time he had 9, and he had the Astros chasing everything that he wanted. And he, as we were talking about it before, Del, before the show, he kept the receipts on everything Alex Bregman. I wonder, did I, clearly Boston heard what Alex Bregman had to say.
Oh, everyone hears everything.
Yeah.
And they remember what Alex Bregman did to them last year. Alex Bregman has become become the face of the Astros because Altuve's been hurt. Correa's been hurt, and they haven't been the players they were last year. So Alex Bregman took over and gleefully took over as the face and really the mouth of the Astros as well, where they really didn't have a mouth last year. He's currently the mouth. And when Eovaldi struck out Bregman on like 102 on the black, he swung and missed, but it was a perfectly placed pitch. Price was seen saying, post that, post that. So, yeah, the Red Sox knew all about Alex Bregman, and they took glee in shutting him down.
Bregman had his opportunities. Well, look, the Astros only got 3 hits off of – I mean, they really hardly had any action on the bases at all. The only run they scored was a bomb by Marwin, and, you know, Marwin actually showed up and had a really good series. But, you know, the Astros just right now, the big concern you have with the Astros is that bullpen – once again, didn't show up enough. And that was the big weakness. You went and traded for Osuna. You traded for Presley. The arms looked a lot better. AJ didn't hit the right switches. But you got beat by Bet. I mean, look, man, I can complain about this, that, or the other. Boston won 108 games, and Boston out-Astroed you. That team is like a carbon copy of what the Astros were last year. They had guys stepping up who you weren't expecting, David Price instead of Charlie Morton, and they have a scrappy-ass lineup. The bottom line is their lineup is more dangerous top to bottom, and when the chips got down, they always stepped up and played. This is the same. They played the same type of ball that the Astros did last year, and you got out. The Astros got beat by the 2017 Astros. I really believe that's what happened, and they were just a better team, and I don't think you can minimize the fact that Alex Cora knew the Astros, because as the series went on, the Astros got worse and worse. Like, Boston got better. You look at game one, then to game two. Game two was closer, obviously. And in game three, it's like, ugh. And in game four, I felt like when it was 1-0, I felt like they weren't coming back from 1-0. That felt a million miles away. When it got 4-0, I was like, well, this is a wrap.
Yeah, the initial home run by, as we will, I guess people will point out continuously, JD Martinez, the former Astro. When it was 1-0, I was like, ooh. It didn't feel like the Astros. Now, it didn't feel like the Astros had that type of juice, like, oh, this is nothing. When it got, I'll be honest, I didn't listen to the crowd because it's baseball, so it took the smaller screen. I was watching basketball, but I was watching the game throughout. I didn't hear the crowd noise. I mean, other people can comment on that, but at least for me, it felt like, this, I don't know if they're going to recover from this. And then when Devers hit the ball, the Crawford box home run, it pretty much felt like it was over, although the Astros had some chances. My take of it was, in this series particularly, if you remove Alex Cora from the equation, the Red Sox made, after game one, the Red Sox made every play.
Every play.
The Astros, if you remove Joe West and any call that didn't go their way, the Red Sox made every play, whether it be the catch by Betts yesterday. And then you look back at Springer's non-catch that led to runs. Was it? I forgot the inning, but I know he had a play on the ball. Josh James was pitching. He didn't make the play, and then the next at bat was a home run, I think, by Jackie Bradley. I think that was the scenario where that's a play that Springer probably makes last year. That's just the way it went last year.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox made all those plays Benintendi we know about. It just felt like you keep pointing out. What the Red Sox did to the Astros this year is what the Astros did to everyone.
Everything went
last year.
The Astros' way for the most part. Like, they made plays, things bounced their way. Every bounce of every ball, it seemed like everything other than game one went the Red Sox way. It was just, I must have heard this phrase on Twitter and just talking to some friends at least 10 times. It's just their year, or it's just not our year. And it's because when certain things start to happen enough, and they happened in rapid succession to get swept 4 straight games, including all 3 at home, which, by the way, you weren't that good at home this year anyway. You got beat by some slap nuts this year at home. So this is nothing new. But, well, I mean, Boston's not, but you didn't protect your home turf, and that's the same thing that happened. But it just, you're right, Boston, and it's not like they just got lucky. They made they made plays.
Yeah, it wasn't bounces in like baseball. We're talking about bounces. It wasn't bounces. They made plays at the most opportune
pitching too.
Yeah, at the most opportune times they made plays defensively, and then when they needed something, whether it be their ninth hole hitter, who's now the ALCS MVP, by the way, Jackie Bradley, he came through over and over and over again. And as it's funny, we look at Tony Kempin. He was ninth in some games, didn't hit ninth last night. He was good for a nine hole hitter, but he wasn't Jackie Bradley. Jackie Bradley took over the series.
They would rat pack you. Like, every time I was thinking about this, like, if you drop something on the ground, a bunch of ants 100% will jump on it and get to it. Or if there's any blood in the water, here come the sharks. If there was a pass ball, the Astros have a dumb wild pitch or pass ball, and they move forward, I think every time but one time, they ended up getting runs out of it. Like, if you screwed up, they were on top of you. The Red Sox made you pay for every screw-up, or they made you pay for every missed opportunity. They made the Astros pay once they got past Game 1 and especially past Game 2. The last two games really were ass-kickings at home. And it's because the Astros, I can't say it's because this and that. It's because, first of all, Red Sox hit the ball. Red Sox put the ball in play. Red Sox hit the ball. Red Sox came up with clutch hits. Red Sox hit some home runs. That's first and foremost. I mean, their four runs came on a three-run homer and a solo homer yesterday. The Astros' only run came on a home run. The Astros couldn't go station to station. They couldn't put anything together yesterday against the Red Sox. And David Price is a big reason. Yesterday, George Springer, when it was all said and done, he talked about David Price and some of the adjustments he made.
I don't think so. I mean, he had a great game plan. His changeup was unhittable. He was good tonight. I mean, he stepped up when they needed him, and you know, hats off to him and them for a great series, and I wish him the best of luck.
And Carlos Correa, who was moved up into the four hole as a cleanup hitter, as A.J. Hinch was trying to, over the last couple games, was trying to find anything that would work in that lineup. They moved Carlos into the four hole, but he had zero success from the four hole yesterday. He talked about David Price.
They played really good baseball. They hit with guys on base, and they shut us down today. I think Price's changeup today was super nasty. It was hard to pick up. One of the best pitches I've seen from him, obviously. He took it to another level.
And when you have a pitcher like David Price with his pedigree who's been awful in the postseason, what he did to them yesterday was just like, you could see early on, like, oh, my God, this is the David Price that was working against him in September that was really on a roll until late. The Astros got to him and tied it up, and then I think they got to the bullpen after that and beat the Red Sox in Boston. But that David Price looked like he had some juice. David Price yesterday was just so nasty. So nasty. And they were chasing, and he had them chasing everything under their knees. Like, they were pressing and chasing bad. They were all swinging at pitchers.
Yeah, they got down early in counts, and then he would throw that changeup that looked like it started at the knees and finished well below, and they had no shot. It was 87 to 90 with that thing, and the Astros looked befuddled. Like, I mean, what do you do when that guy does that to you in an elimination game? He was the best he's been in quite a while, and I don't know what it does for him in Boston, because I don't know what they feel about him, because why am I wouldn't be listening to Boston radio, but it certainly changes the narrative for him, who was a guy who, as long as the Yankees were in town, he was going to blow up. For him to do that in that game certainly may change the trajectory of how people feel about him there, but as far as we're concerned, really, David Price, at this point in a game we need with our best pitcher on the mound, he completely outduels Verlander.
It's going to make some sense to some listeners, it won't to others, but I started getting the Sterling Hitchcock vibe from the 98 Astros, where the Astros, you know, I'm just 1 year into radio at that time, morning radio at least, and the Astros have this really, really good 1998 team, and Randy Johnson's on the mound, and he's going up against Sterling Hitchcock, a lefty who you're like, okay, well, this is the Astros. And then the Astros just couldn't do anything against Sterling Hitchcock. He was wearing them out with changeups. David Price throws a lot harder than Sterling Hitchcock did. But you could tell by the third inning, like, oh, my God, this isn't going like we thought it was going to go. And I had the same exact feeling yesterday, where it was like, you've got this good hitting team, you've got your ace on the mound, and you know that you're going to get beat by an inferior pitcher. Only difference was Sterling Hitchcock was never David Price. David Price just turned into real David Price yesterday at the inopportune time. Boston's not getting beat. This was for the World Series. Boston's not getting beat by the Boston. Whoever they play, it will not go six. They are going to steamroll whoever because their bats are too good. And David Price is probably going to use this as a springboard game. Chris Sale didn't have to pitch again, so he's resting. I mean, they're going to whack somebody. So we'll see. If you guys want to jump in on your thoughts, I know some people are really mad at A.J. Hinch. He's messing with the bullpen, or he's messing with the lineup. And I mean, I just think they got beat by a better team personally. But I mean, there's some things I didn't like as well. Here's you guys can jump in right now. 713-780-3776. Dell and I will get you in quickly. 713-780-3776. LeBron made his debut with the Lakers, and there were comparisons to oatmeal. You've got your Texans. Everyone's buzzing about this huge matchup against Jacksonville's two first-place teams square off, and it's all the city's been talking about, so we'll get to that. And your Rockets are looking for a little redemption as well, so lots to get to today. So, and Dell's people, the millennials, are doing some things.
My people?
Your people are doing some things that are highly questionable to me.
Harrison's in here. You going to put them on me?
Yeah, Harrison's people, too. How old are you, Harrison?
26.
They're more his people than they are mine. Harrison, I'm at the back half of the millennials.
Okay, Harrison, your people, the millennials, are about to... I got to ask you a question about this coming up in a second. 713-780-3776. I want to tell you about Men's T Clinic. Harrison is, you know, he's a millennial. He doesn't have to worry about the testosterone. Now, I have some questions for him regarding the story that I just read yesterday, but he'll have to answer that later. At Men's T Clinic, they basically, one of the things they'll do is they test you to find out if your testosterone is low. If it is, you know, there used to be a thought that, well, this just has to do with your libido and sexual this and that. And I mean, it can for some people, but really, it really has a lot more to do with physical well-being in many ways. Number one, mental acuity. You know, when your testosterone level is where it should be, it really tightens up and you get to, you think much more quickly. Your workouts are substantially more impactful. You're going to start to see a real change in your body type. Right now, I'm going 3 to 5 miles every, like 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and I'm starting to see a big difference. Lost about 9.5 pounds. I'm working weights into it as well. Your energy levels shoot up. But more importantly, your overall physical well-being, you just feel better, especially if they're at the levels where they're supposed to be. And the professionals at Men's T Clinic will get you to the optimal level if you're low in testosterone. 4 locations in Houston. There's no excuse not to go see them. Go to Pearland, Pasadena, Cypress, or the Heights. It's menstclinic.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance Zierlein, Dell with you. John is out today. He got real sad last night, started crying. I'm like, dude, just take it off. You're fine. You see the picture he posted on social media with Joe West?
Yeah.
And he was shooting a finger at Joe West and he took a picture of it. That's not classy.
It's almost the only reason I don't want his kids to become like successful in a business where receipts get checked, because they're going to point to their father and be like, this is your dad? All the things he does, he's going to have to.
At some point, he's going to have to
wipe that thing clean, because like, he has one daughter who's planning, is already a doctor. If she ever becomes prominent in her field, and she writes an article or does an interview, what's your name again? What's your maiden name again?
I know.
Wait a minute.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. What's your family background?
No one.
It's complicated.
I don't really even know my father anymore.
No, we're estranged.
Yeah.
Well, who is it?
Don't worry about it. Stop asking questions.
It's fine. It's fine. No, really, it's fine. Yeah, I know. And John one time told me, you know, Wendy's really moving up the ladder with the producing thing, and sometimes I worry about some of the stuff I post.
Well, yeah. Doesn't worry enough. There's his middle finger directed at Joe West.
I know. And I'm like, I keep a, I just, I'm never going to go way too far. I see some stuff on Twitter. I'm like, God, I wish I could do that. That would be great.
If you haven't seen
it. I could say that. That would be great.
At John Granato. Hey, there's Joe West. His fat ass is right in front of us. GFY, Joe West. Yep. And his middle finger's directed right at Joe
West.
And
he took a picture of his middle finger and Joe West way in the, you know, in the background.
So yeah.
That's how John rolls. All right. Here's our number, 713-780-3776. I'm going to ask a specific question right now. How are you with Alex Bregman? Alex Bregman talked that yak after game one, where he got walked and hit about 100 times. He came into the series red hot, obviously. Had a great, great season. He did go 2-for-15 in this series. He had two hits in one game, and that was in game three. But over the last two, he was 0-for-9 and left a lot of men on base, a lot of opportunities. Red Sox were clearly motivated by his comments. I think they're a better team anyway. Just kind of interested if you guys care about Alex Bregman, you know, giving some bulletin board material to the Boston Red Sox with his video of the back-to-back-to-back homers against a guy who ended up coming in and dealing in both of his opportunities in Eovaldi. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We got spaces for you, so jump in. We'll get to you. Let's get Brian in here. What's going on, Brian?
Oh, nothing. Just another day in Houston paradise. How you doing this morning?
Oh, not a problem at all. Well, you got your first-place Texans right now, getting ready to take on Jacksonville and take the lead outright. You're fine. Everything's fine here.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the leadership there. That's what's important, right? So, you know, for me, you know, and Alex Bregman and big Astros fan, season ticket holder, all that good stuff. Fortunate enough to go to a game last night and have good seats in here. Chris Sale screams to post that. He's a young kid. He's going to be really, really good for a long time, but I really do hope he learns something because, especially in a moment like that, the postseason, there's just no reason. What can you really get out of putting something like that out there? At the end of the day, all it did is hype him up. David Price came in there with just another level, and that's all that did. And it's a time for him to kind of sit back and realize that, hey, I just, you know what, maybe I put that out there after we win. I mean, and then we'll deal with it next year.
Yeah. Anything else, Brian?
That's it.
Yeah, that's kind of what Dell and I talked a little bit about. I mean, look, appreciate the call. I don't know that Boston need to get hyped up any more than they were going to be for the series anyway. But I know but A.J. Hinch was asked directly about it. He's like, no, I'm surprised he deleted it. I'm fine with as long as you back it up now. He didn't back it
to
up.
To be fair to him, he did get two hits off of Eovaldi in the game that Eovaldi started. But in a big moment, which every moment was big when you're down 4-1, Eovaldi shut him out, and it was a nasty pitch. I don't know who does anything with that pitch, where it's placed, and the velocity. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one-on-one. Was Eovaldi more focused? Possibly, when he faced Bregman last night. But was David Price going to be less focused because if Alex Bregman doesn't put it up? It's just a bad look. I don't think it affected the outcome. It's just,
you know what it does? It helps when momentum starts getting rolling. You start feeding off of that stuff.
Yeah.
Once you get going, though, like the Astros had the momentum going into game three. There was no doubt about that. I mean, they may have lost game two, but they still had a lot of momentum. They gave up 27 runs the last four games. You ain't winning. You're not winning that. So I don't put that all on Alex Bregman. But like you said, more than anything, it's probably a bad look for Alex, but because he didn't just kill it. Now, if you kill it after you do that, but he was, after he did that, he was 2-for-12.
Yeah.
And after he did that, he was 2-for-12.
And what it means is now I don't know if he was asked questions about it. I know he gave Eovaldi credit after game three. I said he pitched well, which when it led to a Red Sox win. All it means is there's something he has to answer for because reporters will ask him about it, but I don't think it affects Bregman's play. Part of his deal is he doesn't give a crap. He just wants to go out there and ball.
Yeah. I don't want him to change who he is. I like all that. I like the swagger. It's what makes him who he is. He has no fear. Every time he got up to the plate, I thought he was going to deliver, even when he didn't. I still thought he was going to deliver. I still think he's going to. He's a great player. I don't think he's going to change at all. Now, he might think twice about doing that, but I don't think he's going to look at that as, man, I shouldn't have done that. I really hurt my team. I don't think he's going to look at it that way. And frankly, I don't think a young Astros team. Like Carlos Beltran would have maybe given him a stern talking to, but I don't think any of the younger players are going to think anything about it. It's kind of the way the game rolls, and that's who Alex Bregman is. So I don't think they're going to care that much. But I'm kind of curious about what the fans, Astros fans, think about. Let's get Mario in here. Wants to talk about the Astros. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, fellas.
How you doing?
All right. Hey, I don't have a problem with what it did. I mean, to me, I mean, they are the defending world champions. They've owned Boston lately in the last couple of series, in the regular and the last postseason. I mean, if you watch Bregman all year long, he's been a stud, a beast. I mean, not only on the offensive side, but on the infield, defensive side. I mean, he's made plays with his arm.
Fantastic.
He looked great.
I mean,
you can't just say one side of the ball. You got to look at both sides. And I mean, he's only one man. He can't beat that whole team by himself. But as far as his play, he's been backing it up for the most part this year.
Yep.
So I'm hanging blitz to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the season, and he backed it up defensively throughout the play. He was fantastic in the post. I had no idea he was going to be this good defensively. Ron Darling at one point made a comment like, I had no idea he had this kind of arm from third base. He was great defensively. Mm-hmm. And he actually hit the ball hard a few times. So, I mean, he almost went yard yesterday as well. Did you see those bitches, Astro fans?
Completely backed up.
And, you know, I've never seen such a divide. I got a text from a friend of mine from out of town. Just this morning, I woke up to it. And he had a picture of, there's an article that Matt Young wrote that said, Astros have the right fan in interference seat for game five. And they show this kid, and I didn't read the story, but he sent that article. He said, this kid is smarter than that jagoff from the night before. They should never let that guy in the building again just for being an arrogant a-hole. But what? I didn't see it that way.
I didn't get arrogance from that guy.
I didn't get arrogance from him at all. And I'm like, I didn't think he did anything wrong either. Boston, I'm going to tell you this. Boston fans are on my nerves with this. I'm getting pictures. Look, if you go to the FanGraphs article, it actually has an article. Nobody can tell the direction of where the glove was in the stands or what. It's hard to tell. I'll admit that. It's hard. There are sometimes I look at it and I'm like, it looks like interference. And there's other times I'm like, no, I think the glove's in the stands. And once it's in the stands, all bets are off. I can't. Different angles look like different things. Nobody can tell. So, Boston fans, y'all won. Stop trying to sell Astros fans on the same dumbass pictures. I don't care. Get off of my timeline, you bunch of dummies.
I don't know if this is going to make you feel better. We'll come back and talk about it.
You never say things that make me feel
better. And I'm aware of that. That's why I prefaced it by saying it. TDK alerted us to it, and I thought it was a Photoshop. But one David Price, I told you he kept receipts. He's not done. So we'll come back with that on the other side, but you got to get to Ghost or Bill Advisor.
Let me tell you about Bill Advisor. So Veronica is who I'm working with right now. She's my Bill Advisor. When you go with Bill Advisor, you have a person who is working on your account for you. And on the bill side is one section of Bill Advisor, and the insurance side is the other one. And I want to tell you about insurance now, because right now there are a lot of people saving upwards of $2,000 and $3,000 for the very first time they use Bill Advisor, because the homeowner's insurance option right now is off the charts. It's so good. And there is a great option for you. If you've been with your same company for years and years and years, I'm not sure why. We get bundled packages. That's great. I was the same guy. And then I found out that Bill Advisor could actually get me much better rates. They only saved me $100 on my car, which I'll take the $100, but they saved me over $700 on my homeowner's insurance. And I had pretty good homeowner's insurance. But here's the difference. I had it at the rate that my house was, that I bought my house for 12 years ago. They increased my insurance by over $100,000. So I had real legitimate coverage on my home. We got flood coverage, everything. And I still had a $700 savings there. If you want to find out what they can offer you for homeowners insurance, just text money to 232323 right now. And an automated system will text you back, ask your address, you send it, and they'll say, okay, this is what we'll charge you for your coverage. And you'll know within a minute what you can potentially save on homeowners insurance. Text money right now, today, to 232323. Compare it to the policy you have. And then if you want to follow up on it, get started on switching your insurance over. Get the prorated amount that you're owed back from the old company and jump on board with their coverage. Money to 232323 or go to BillAdvisor.com.
I mean, emotions creep into today. I just want to go out there and focus on every pitch, start from pitch one.
That was
sound from the Astros' father, David Price. and obviously the celebration in the background. But
oh, I thought it was Astros.
No, it wasn't Club Astros. Oh. It was Club Red Sox. And I'm not just throwing it out there to piss people off. That is actually in his Twitter bio now. Astros' father.
No.
Yes, it is. It's real because TDK tweeted it at us, and I thought, oh, that's a Photoshop.
But if you wondered, so there's legitimately some smoke between the two teams.
Yeah. If you go to at David Price 24, you'll see VU Commodore for Life, same school that Tony Kemp went to, / Astros father, / Jordan Brand athlete, / Red Sox Nation. So, yes, that is the Astros father, apparently. He's Astros the father of 25 father. Houston Astros.
He did treat them like their dad.
In game,
he gave a stern spanking.
He gave them. Hey, let's play pickup basketball. And he took his old man game and get to the Astros.
He took him into the post. Yeah, and do nothing but changeups.
Yeah. So yeah, to the point of did the Red Sox hear the talk? I guess I don't know if it's all about Bregman, but they certainly had an issue with the Astros coming into the series.
Them and the Astros and the Dodgers, you could feel a little like baseball's a much cockier sport now. The younger guys celebrate. You got a whole and baseball's trying to get past the old guard. Like I know a lot of you out there are going to be old school baseball fans, and this is the way it's played. You're just not going to like the direction of baseball. I'm telling you. And baseball, for its own sake, needs to get over it. And I think. The Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, adds, see, this is not funny anymore. The people have instructed me that he has a dog named Astro. So that's where it comes from. I've never been to David Price profile, but he has a dog named Astro.
What?
That's not fun.
It's, Astro's daddy? What does it say?
It says Astro's father. But apparently, thank you to a couple of you for letting me know that apparently he has a dog named Astro. And it's always been there.
Okay,
it's not fun anymore, though.
I like the way baseball's going now. This is great.
I was about to say, man, baseball's really getting raw. You just change your Twitter bio that.
But let's correct it. Apparently, that's been there for quite a bit, according to some people. Right. And it's not fun.
Brian says, the Astros lost the series. I accept that. But Boston sports fans still the worst. So I hope either Brewers or Dodgers beat the Sox. They're really... Boston fans are insufferable. And what sucks even worse... is that after the first game, it looks like we're maybe going to get rid of the Patriots, and now all of a sudden the Patriots are playing again, and now the Sox look like they're going to win a World Series, and the Celtics played like booty in game one and whipped the Sixers. They couldn't shoot at all. It's not good. All Boston teams are going to be good again, and they are insufferable fans. They really are, and they're mean people.
Like, they're awful people.
They're a mean, mean people.
Even when they look happy because they're celebrating, you just want to punch them in the face.
Yeah, they really do. And they're mean. They're mean, angry people. I mean, they threw beer on Tyreek Hill. That wasn't even a shocker. The fingers. I mean, I expect middle fingers.
Yeah,
they just whipped it. And you know, they've got such a great history of tolerant treatment too. Let's get Terry in here. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jay's first up. What's up, Jay?
How you doing?
Good, Jay.
Good. We didn't lose a series because of Alex Bregman's mouth. We didn't lose a series because of Joe West or any bad moves AJ Hinch made. There's one stat they said last night, the reason we lost this series. I think at one point they said the Red Sox were 19 of their 38 hits came with two outs. That's just a combination of our pitching not getting it done and them just being... like you said, this 2017 Astros.
That's a 2017 Astros move. Ruining your staff with two strikes. Now, there was some bad two. Look, there was a terrible call by Blue on what should have been a called third strike, but then it was a hung curveball by Verlander. Like, Verlander on a two strike, he gave up a fat curveball, two strike home run. You know, that's an example of a two strike hit, but they're just scrappy as crap. I mean, I thought the Royals were scrappy when they beat the Astros in 15, and they were. Man, this Red Sox team was right there on par with Astros scrappy at 2017. They led the league in two-strike hits. They wrecked shop in the postseason with two-strike hits again. It's hard to beat a team that's and then if you made any mistake, any pass ball, that was turning into a run. Any mistake you made, and the Astros did that to the Red Sox in game one, where any mistake defensively where they had defensive issues, the Red Sox, the Astros jumped on them and immediately put runs on them. But the Red Sox turned a tide after that. They're the ones who are jumping on the Astros when they made mistakes.
And you talked about it yesterday about the Astros not being able to close out guys. Hey, if it's two strikes, throw a pitch because they're not going to swing at any of your crap. No. Verlander now, obviously, he didn't execute that pitch the way he wanted to, but he wasn't wasting that pitch. It just hung, and J.D. Martinez took it out. So
Hit mistakes.
They hit everything.
Yeah, they'll hit your mistakes. Games, and you see why the Astros were so scared. Like Ryan Pressly was pitching like he was terrified with a bunch of curveballs, outpitched curveballs that he refused to give in and give them a pitch to hit. So you know what they did? All right, we'll just put the bat on our shoulders and you can walk us, bases loaded, and then we'll let McCullers go ahead and walk a run in. How about we'll do that? They were so disciplined at the plate. I mean, so unbelievably disciplined. Let's get to Terry in here. What's up, Terry?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Hey, first of all, I had no problem with what Bregman did. You know, just young, maybe it's a learning thing. So, you know, but like a true Astro fan, you know, this season is done with. I'm ready for next year already. Couple quick questions. What do you think the Astros are going to do? In my opinion, they let Keuchel go unless, you know, he's going to give a hometown discount. Well, not hometown, but, you know, Astros discount. But I don't think he's going to. I'd like them to see them re-sign Uncle Charlie. But what about, like, big free agents like Bryce Harper or Adam Jones? Do you see them trying to go after somebody like that? Because Marwin, you know, he's going to command or want at least $10 million or not $10 million or more a year, you know, which I don't know how much y'all willing to pay him. You know, I know he was making, like, $5 or $6 or $7 million this year, but what do you think? Looking forward to next year, and also rebuilding the bullpen with some good quality arms. If there's going to be any free agents out there, what do y'all think?
I think they could look. You're about to find out what big boy baseball, big boy sports is all about. You got team friendly contracts across the board on a lot of players. And what happens is when you grow up and your players outplay their contracts, you have to start paying real contracts, and you have to start paying contracts that scare you a little bit. Like Marwin, you know, Marwin was great in the postseason. Marwin was good at the end of the year. Marwin wasn't good most of the year. And Marwin was great last year, so it's like, man, what is the value on Marwin, and how long do you sign him for? Right now, I don't think there's any way you re-sign Dallas Keuchel. I'd love to consider Keuchel And like, if you were the Astros, you could say, Dallas, we'd like to give you $13 million at 2 years. Oh, I'd love to do that, but he's not doing that. First of all, he's a Boris client. Secondly, it would be stupid for him to do that. He needs to go make as much money as he can for as long as he can, because this might be a last contract for Dallas Keuchel. I mean, he's not a young pitcher.
Yeah,
he's over 30.
The way baseball is set up, he'll be 31 before the year starts, currently 30. I don't think he's looking, not that he's begging poor, but I don't think he's looking to give the Astros a deal. I mean, if the Astros come with something comparable to what he might find in the open market, I'm sure he would love to stay. But I don't believe he's going to be like, well, you know what? For $3 million less, I'll stay.
Let's do this. Let's go through some of the free agents, and we'll just get a little temperature of the room. Harrison, you're a big Astros fan, aren't you?
Of course.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You can jump in here, too. I'll go through some of the unrestricted free agents, and we'll see what you guys think, because there's probably a few more than you think. We'll jump on that when we come back. We'll also keep getting to your calls. John, Paul, we see you. LeBron got started yesterday, and he compared his team to oatmeal, but not the instant oatmeal type. So we'll find out what he was talking about there. LeBron's always got something to say. I don't care about LeBron. I care about my Houston Rockets. Tough one for the boys. In game one, as they have to try to figure everything out. This is the way the Rockets roll. There's always a new cast of characters that are coming in. You got to get things figured out. Tough start, but I'm not sleeping on my Houston Rockets, because I know that they always get things worked out, well coached, well managed, and they've got some great stars on the team. And they want you to come out and check them out for yourself. You can go to Rockets.com. Rockets are great about always creating different packages for whatever your particular needs are. They've got suites for corporate events. They've got they have the huge fan fest we told you about, the team shop event. And right now on the 20th, you've got the Papa Shot event. You can go to Rockets.com to find out all about the Papa Shot event. I'll give you an example. It's a Papa Shot tournament viewing party. It's this Saturday at 7 o'clock. Papa Shot tournament at Pitch 25. You got to be 21 and older to participate. They've got Budweiser specials, Rockets and Lakers viewing party at 9 p.m. So Rockets take on LeBron, but you can go to this viewing party. The other Rockets power dancers and Clutch will be there. Event includes games, prizes, and more. It's this fun Papa Shot tournament viewing party. If you want to register right now, you can go to the website rockets.com. Don't forget, Rockets take on LeBron. That's going to be on the road, but they do have a viewing party this Saturday, so make sure you check it out. James Harden, Chris Paul, Carmelo take on LeBron and the Lakers. For all tickets, individual, season, or mini packages, make sure that you visit the website rockets.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We talked about it a little bit before, but this, man, basketball feels like it's got a lot of juice in it in the season. I've just seen so many people who are just going crazy about the start of the season. And I'm sure it's because there's so many really good young stars in the league. I also think that basketball, for once, in a weird way, ironically, is benefiting from so many of the younger fans who are, you know, I always kind of refer to them as the LeBron fans who just travel from team to team with them. They don't care about a team. They just want to keep following a winner the whole time, take an easy way out. But the reality is, you know, basketball's done a good job of marketing their best young players. They've got a lot of really good young players. The players are crossover into pop culture from a fashion standpoint and music standpoint. I think that actually helps the brand for their target audience. A lot of people who are listening to this, like, you're not the target. Like, Granato's not the target audience. I would argue I'm not the target audience necessarily, but I recognize that. You know who are? My kids. You know what my kids were super excited about? Beginning of basketball season. I just think that so many young fans following stars and being aware of star players, kind of like we see with international soccer, has really benefited basketball, because even if your team's going to suck somewhere, you still care about Giannis. You care about Ben Simmons. You care about Embiid. You care about Tatum. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of guys that you can follow in basketball, and it's not even in football. You do it because of fantasy football. In basketball, I think a lot of people are just legitimately in love with watching all the different stars play.
And because basketball is so dependent on star players, that you can decide to become a fan of a star player, and then the benefit of it, their team might be good because
star players tend to click now.
Yeah, and that too. But if you are a fan of Giannis for whatever reason, maybe you're of Nigerian descent, and which he
or
which
Greek that, or Greek.
I was not finished.
Okay, because he's a Greek. I don't know if you know this. He was born in Greece.
Maybe, and then
no, he wasn't. They moved there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Or maybe he was after his parents moved there. But he is of Nigerian descent. So what you do there, you maybe if you're Nigerian descent or Greek and you want to follow Giannis, he may be the bell cow for why you care about the NBA. And then you become a Bucks fan, or you buy a Bucks jersey. And now that Giannis decides he wants to stay there, you become a Bucks fan. And now the Bucks have this influx of fans that they wouldn't normally have, because stars impact the game far more in that sport than others besides the quarterback position. So you can follow Giannis and become a Bucks fan and think, okay, that team has a shot to be kind of good, and I don't have to root for a sucky team just because my favorite player is on the team.
Yeah, my kids are hyped. Now, my kids are hyped also because they play NBA 2K, and so they get it. But it's also the reason they like 80s and 90s basketball players. Like, they're basketball historians too. They're very Snacks loves Run TMC from the Golden State era. They're well aware of all the great players. But Mason's favorite player of all time is Allen Iverson. He didn't watch Allen Iverson play one single game. But, you know, video games are very powerful in that regard, too, as it's a great branding mechanism now. I don't know, just a little something. You guys can, I'll check out Twitter in a second. Let me get to free agents really quickly, and we'll get to phone calls. Get your thoughts on this. Evan Gattis, gotta go. I don't see Evan Gattis staying. Is there any arguments by anybody? No. Marwin made Machete, Martin Maldonado. Even though he was a pass ball machine, I think there's a decent chance he'll still be here. He made 3.9.
The other catcher I'm seeing is Yasmani Grandal. That might be a little interesting, but you're going to have to pay more, and I don't really see him being worth all that much more than Martinez.
And then there's also the rumored Astro at one point, JT Realmuto.
Yeah, he's been tied to him a couple of times because I know they really love him. My gut says, what is... Oh, my God. Oh, is that team? That's club option. Oh, McCann, $15 million. He's gone. If that's a club option, he won't... he's not going to be there for that amount. You've got... they could go Maldonado and a cheap Stassi. They could go cheap there. That might be an option they have to look at. Maldonado, I don't think you go... I mean, I don't... I guess he'd be pretty much your full-time catcher in that regard. So I would say... five-ish, maybe more than that. I don't know. That's tricky. What in terms of what you're going to pay him? You have Marwin Gonzalez. I would say the Astros are going to have to pay double digits to keep Marwin. I do think that he will probably be a priority because of the multiple positions he plays. I don't think they're going to love what they have to pay him. I don't think they're going to love the years they have to give him, but I'm not sure they're going to be. That's one of those things that they're probably going to have to do it because he can play multiple positions. Shortstop, second base, outfield. You can put Marwin in almost anywhere, and he's going to – and he switch hits. And he can hit with some pop. So I think they're going to have to go with Marwin Gonzalez here. Dallas Keuchel. You guys see any way Dallas stays?
See, my thought is with the Astros, I try to look at them as how valuable will this player be in the postseason because – I know baseball's so long, you have to get there. But when I look at the team, I think this team should be around for quite a bit. So you're paying guys to perform in the postseason. Are you going to pay Dallas Keuchel the money he might expect to make, considering all the questions you might have for him being your third starter in a series?
That's my thing. What do you think, Harrison?
Well, I think with Dallas, I think you got to look towards the farm system and just the sheer number of arms we have coming up through the system.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason really to give Dallas the kind of money that he's going to be able to make. And like you guys said, go get your money, Dallas, and we'll thank you for your time.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to begrudge him for that. And he's going to want multiple years. Who's the pitcher that's in AA right now that is everyone's so excited about? I was talking to somebody who's tight with the organization who said that's the guy. I got to pull him up here in a second, but he's at Corpus Christi. Now, I mean, I know Whitley has been the name that everyone clearly has talked about, but let me pull the other pitcher up that everyone talks about.
And while you're doing that, just to be clear, Realmuto would have to come in a trade. I know we're talking free agency, but that name has been mentioned so much. But if they did want to acquire him in this offseason, they couldn't just go outright and sign him. They'd have to give up prospects for him.
Yeah. I cannot, the name will come to me here in just a second, but, Charlie Morton, if you don't keep Dallas, you do keep Charlie Morton. And so you can't keep both of them. I can't see a scenario where they're going to keep both of them. So my guess is they will keep, they are going to keep Charlie Morton and they will not keep Dallas Keuchel. That's kind of what I'm thinking here. I think they'll look to the minor leagues for at least one starter. I do not see Josh James becoming a starter. He could. Why? Why not use that power arm? His stuff was nasty. And we can argue about, he left him in too long. Dude, Josh James, why would you start him? By the third inning, his fastball's down in the 97 range. That's a one-inning, 100-mile-an-hour pitcher with a nasty changeup. And he's got a little bit of a breaking pitch as well. Looks like a little bit of a cutter or slider. Why would you – I guess it's a change. It's 90-mile-an-hour change. I don't know. I wouldn't start that guy. I would go try to dominate. First of all, I don't trust Osuna, first and foremost. But I don't think Josh James goes back into the rotation as a starter. I'm not sure Lance McCullers does. I don't know if you can trust his arm right now. And now, if you let Dallas Keuchel go and Charlie Morton is your third, then maybe Lance has to go back into the starting rotation and you take your chances. But we're going to get to see Fromber. We're going to get to see some of the young starters get their shots in spring, I would think. And lastly, Tony Sipp is a free agent.
Hey, man, you know how I feel.
Tony Sipp was not good the first couple of years and was really good this year.
And what, as a left-handed specialist, how much is Tony Sipp going to command? Now, he was good this year in that contract year.
He made $6 million this year. And if you're going to be signing Charlie Morton for more, Marwin for more, Sipp's probably...
He's probably, considering the type of year he had, the baseball contracts are weird to me. I don't think the Astros are going to pay Tony Sipp. And Tony Sipp's another guy who, hey, man, go get yours. If you can go find another deal in that $6 million range, say the market for him is, say, 2 years, $12
million. Yep.
We keep in Tony. You want Tony Sipp back?
No, you're going to have to. Well, let me explain why. Ryan Pressly's in arbitration. He's going to make more money. He's making 1.6. He's about to make a crap load of money, a lot more than what you're paying him. Brad Peacock's at an arbitration number. You may end up keeping him. Colin McHugh is. Osuna is. Lance McCullers, arbitration 2. Garrett Cole. I mean, FOH. You're not going to be able to keep a lot of these guys. You're not going to be able to keep Tony Sipp at $6 million or more. And you know what? You may not be able to keep Marwin. These guys are all, everybody's salary is getting ready to shoot way up.
It's the price of winning a title. Competing for another one.
Jake Mariznick, you got it.
Get at it. Beat it, Jake.
Carlos Correa makes $1 million. What does he make next year?
Well, luckily he didn't have a great year, but how does it go? Do you want to get in contentious arguments with Carlos Correa about his contract?
Not really, but the payroll, which is $163 million last year, is about to go up. It's about to go up. Arbitration is going to spike you, but yeah, I think the Astros, it's going to hurt. I think you have to let a lot of these vets walk. I think you hang on to Charlie, you may have to let Marwin walk. You may have to let you're going to have to let Dallas Keuchel walk, and you know, you may go Maldonado and Stassi and just say, let's just go as cheap as we can at catcher. This is the price of having a good baseball team. That credit card bill comes due at some point, and you've been getting very good deals on a lot of players, a lot of team-friendly deals, because that's how baseball works. But you got to pay the piper eventually, and that's what's going to happen with the Astros. Astros, 4 straight losses, including getting swept at home. They are out. They are gone. You guys still have thoughts, so we'll jump to it here on the other side. 713-780-3776. Lance Zierlein, Dell with you right here on the bench.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.